The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi and good evening, everybody. From the Clinton County Raceway in Lock Haven, Pennsylvania, we welcome you to the Dirt Track Channel's coverage of ARDC Midget Racing, one of the oldest midget organizations in the country. And for the first time in 6 years, they're back here at the Third Mile Bullring. Along with Steve Kellogg, I'm Sean Wood. And for Steve, it's his first time seeing ARDC Midgets. I've had the privilege of watching them since I was a kid. You've been with me around in the pits. 30 midgets here tonight. Great, great field.
I was looking at the quality of cars over there, and I didn't see any junk over there at all. It's all high-dollar cars, and I'm really looking forward to it. I've seen two midget shows in my life. One was a TQ midget show on pavement at Wyoming County up in Perry, New York. And way back years and years ago at the old Dundee Speedway, which is now Black Rock Speedway, they had a USAC midget show over there. And to give you an idea how long ago that was, Gary Bettenhausen was running in that race.
After tonight, you will be a follower of midgets, and you will understand why I want to see them at the Woodhole Raceway next year on the high banks, because you will have your breath taken away tonight by the midgets here at Clinton County. You're listening to ARDC Midget Racing Action here on the DirtTrackChannel.com.
With 30 years' experience, Kinzer Air Filters is a trusted name in the racing industry. Their 360-degree dome positive charge air filter is the cleanest air filter on the market. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer Air Filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. It's easy to use and cleans with soap and water. To learn more, call Roger Kinzer at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103, or visit KinzerDirect.com. Kinzer Air Filters, made in the USA.
Your ultimate parts and service dealer, Lamon Webster of Woodhull, wants to know, can you harness big power and put it to work in tight spaces? You can with New Holland's Boomer Utility Tractor. The gutsy turbocharged engine means you can handle a long list of tough jobs and get big comfort, too. Come visit us on Exhibitors Row, August 6th through the 8th at Watkins Glen International. New Holland and Lamon Webster are the official tractor supplier of Watkins Glen International. Get the New Holland Big Boomer Power and comfort today. Lamb & Webster offers a free 5-year, 5,000-hour warranty on all compact tractors. 0% for 72 months financing available through CNH Capital. See dealer for details. Why not Lamb & Webster?
Well, welcome back once again, race fans, to the Clinton County Raceway. ARDC Midget action for you here this evening on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Always a pleasure to be hanging out with the gang at ARDC Midgets. And Steve, again, you said you've seen some midget racing before. You have not seen the ARDC brand. And since they made the decision 3 years ago to take off the wings, this series has taken off.
I can't imagine what they were doing with wings on.
Well, the wings came on because of them coming through central Pennsylvania, hoping that back in the day when they brought the wings out in central PA that they might attract some of the central Pennsylvania sprint car drivers of that time back in the 60s. Now, let's give you the heat race lineup. Dusty Heastad.
Like you said, my bad.
Justin Gross make up row number one. Tracy Redinger and Steve Dreverick, row number two. Brent Arndt and Alex Bright, row number three. Donnie Trent, longtime competitor, and Corey Becker, row number four. And Steve Buckwalter, the current points leader, the hot rod one himself, Johnny Heidenreich, rounding out the field. But now we have the caution back out on the field one more time. Not exactly sure why that is. Now we get the white. Okay. So the midgets, first of three heat races, 30 midgets in all here tonight. Man, that is just a tremendous field considering it's the first time in 6 years they have been here. And the fans are in for a treat. Heastad and Graz on the front row. Starter looks them over and the green flag will fly. And we are midget racing for the first time in a while here at Clinton County.
And I don't know if they're going to let that start fly. Because
they are, and they're two and three wide down the backstretch already. Heastad showing the way. Tracy Redinger running in seconds. They go three wide through three and four. One car comes around. A couple other cars spin into him. And we are under caution here without getting our first lap in the record books.
Well, standing in the driver's meeting up there earlier, they were very adamant on these starts. And the front row obviously took off real early. It was before turn four, and the guy on the outside of the front row was third when they came out of turn four.
The midgets running last at Williams Grove Speedway, where Ryan Smith and Bruce Buckwalter Jr. picking up the wins. They were rained out at Accord Speedway in New York. We're set to go midget racing one more time. The green flag emphatically flying in the air. And here comes Tracy Redinger working the high side off of turn number two. Former 358 modified competitor of the Grandview Speedway shows the way down the backstretch. He'll take the lead over Dusty Hiestad. And then it's a four-car battle, throw blanket over them. First seconds, they race their way off of turn number four.
Man, these guys are two wide, three wide, and almost four wide one time, and they're still in a whole bunch.
Steve Trevecki and Brent Arndt running there for fifth at the moment. Here comes Steve Buckwalter. Banzai moved down a low side. He picks up two spots. Current points leader, showing why he is the current points leader, as he is also a winner on the USAC Trail, won on opening night at the Gas City I-69 Speedway in the Speed Week, and he goes
crossover move and took two cars right there.
And he is coming from inside of row five. That'd be the ninth starting spot, as Tracy Redinger shows the way, and one car loops around. Looks like Donnie Trent one more time in the back of the field, and we're under caution for the second time here in this first heat race. I told you, these guys are awesome.
They don't spread out. They're right in a bunch the whole race.
Two wide, and well, their slogan is three wide and side by side is standard, and that's true. And this is a perfect track for them.
Perfect size. And like you said, I would love to see these guys at Woodhull.
Now do you see why I keep saying about that? Well, we finally can identify the other machine that was involved in that accident as he comes off, and that is the 39, and that'd be Justin Graz, and he was our outside pole sitter. 70 years ARDC now celebrating their 70th anniversary. They haven't been racing for 70 exact years, but they've been around since 1939. They were formed, and in 1940, they had their first champion.
A little side note here, the zero of Steve Buckwalter that's really flying up through the field was involved in a hot lap incident and went off on the hook in hot laps and started at the rear of this heat and is running in fourth position right now.
Guys like Mario Andretti and Pancho Carter, just among some of the famed drivers who have had wins in ARDC competition. So this series has been around for quite some time. Let's see if we can finish this heat race off. Green flag comes out. We're single file off of turn number four as Tracy Redinger shows him the way back down to that number one corner. Through turns one and two, Redinger off of that backstretch, takes him down. They go single file one more time through three and four. As we get the cross flags this time by.
Unlike the sprint cars, these guys are all running right on the bottom of the racetrack, and the sprint cars all utilize the top right up next to the cushions.
And Johnny Heidenreich still at the back of the pack. We hadn't talked much about Johnny. Whoa, a couple cars get together. Brent Arndt and another competitor bumped wheels.
No and yellow, though.
He stayed, but Johnny Heidenreich still at the back of the pack. Johnny, of course, eighth on the all-time win list with 36 wins. His cousin, Eric, will be up a little bit later on. White flag is out for Tracy Redinger as he works his way through turns one and two. Dvorak sit right there in second. Here comes Steve Buckwalter looking for that last lap pass to move into second, and he gets it. Ho-ho! What a move by Steve Buckwalter. And it's Tracy Redinger in for the win. Steve Buckwalter second. Steve Drever third. Fourth goes to Dusty Hiestad and Alex Bright in the fluorescent green and number 77 rounds out the field. What a bonsai move to hold on for a second place finish by Steve Buckwalter.
Great second place finish is the good news. The bad news is these guys don't use passing points.
They have they do have a handicapping system. Heat race number one. Heat race number two lines up like this. Donnie Hoffman and Steve Craig making up row number one. Steve Lennick and Tim Buckwalter, row number two. Dave Shirk and Jeff Furlong, row number three. The defending series champion Frank Palmita and Ryan Smith, row number four. And Drew Hiestad and Brian Kobelars, the father, in the 49 tonight. Your impressions even after just one heat?
Exciting. I expected it to be like the sprints and get spread out a little bit, and they didn't do it. It stayed all bunched up for the whole heat race. Track seems to be drying up just a little bit, but it still seems to have a lot of bite, though.
Right, and it doesn't seem as though they're ripping up the track as they were before in the sprint car heat races.
You know, I'm looking over in turn three. I kept talking about that cushion, and I don't see it there now.
No, I don't see it either. It's disappeared. I think we have a tremendous racetrack.
Nine cars set to take the green. There were 10 slated to come out.
We're missing Donnie Hopping because Steve Lenig has moved up on
the
pole. The pole
sitter is missing.
So it's up to Sealands Grove. Steve Lenig to kick the wheel. They're off at turn number four, and the green flag is out. And already Lenig with a two-car length lead as they hustle off down in that number one corner. Lenig will show the way. They go three wide off at turn number two. Now get back into two by two. As they hustle down in that number three corner. Three wide as Lenig shows the way off at turn number four to
another
complete lap number one.
For the number 12.
Dave Schrick is running in second at the moment. And now he gets past as we have Brian Kobelar slowing. And now he, well, let's see what's going to happen here. Is he going to bring it in off of turn number two? Meanwhile, off of turn four, Steve Lenig still shows the way. Tim Buckwalter sitting in second, bidding for the lead. They come off of turn number two. They're going to have to throw the yellow as we have Brian Kobelar slowing dramatically in turn at number three.
Now, they probably maybe could have got by without a yellow, but I guess to on the safe side, I think they did the right thing.
So Steve Lenig, your race leader, Tim Buckwalter in second, Dave Schirk in third, fourth is Frank Palomita, and fifth at the moment
is the 12 car of
Drew Hestad.
Yep. He put quite a move on down in three and four one time about two laps ago and passed about three cars all in one clean sweep.
Now do you see why I told you this is the most difficult form of motorsports to announce?
Yep.
Now imagine doing these guys.
It would be a little better if I knew the names.
Well, yeah, but that's okay.
But like you said, you got to learn the colors.
Yes, I told you. You got to learn the colors and the top and not only that, you learn driver tendencies after a while. So we're back to green flag racing. Steve Lenig will show the way as he powers off at turn number four. That's another
three
thing,
wide
too.
Off from four.
That's another thing as well. You have that power-to-weight ratio in these midgets. And Frank Palomita with problems. Last year's points champion, he hit the Uke tire.
He clipped the Uke tire going into turn one.
Yep, and that will, I don't know if that's going to end his night, but that's going to make them thrash on that race car.
I was looking right at it, and I thought he skinned by it just by the hair on his teeth, but he just
enough of
just
a nick.
And it broke the left front on the car.
Man, I'm telling you, I cannot believe the crowd that is here tonight. It is phenomenal.
Well, I guess we're part of history here at Clinton County Raceway, the biggest race ever in the history of the racetrack. Probably, I wouldn't be surprised, the biggest crowd in the history of the racetrack. Hats off to Vern Wasson for putting this deal together.
Off of turn number four, Steve Lenig in that maroon and gold leaf number nine shows the way. Dave Schirk runs in second, looks for that lead, but Lenig has it on the backstretch, and is he going to give it up? Yes, he does. And we have almost coming together for second place
there.
The 12
car is absolutely flying up through the field.
Drew Hestad from the last row on the inside, battles on the low side of Steve Lenig as they work their way off the turn number two and down the backstretch. Dave Schirk, we start on the inside of row at number three, is the points leader. Halfway this time by Steve Lenig running in second, Drew Hestad in third, and it's Tim Buckwalter, the cousin to Steve, in fourth at the present time. And here comes Hestad. He's closing in on Lenig, working that high line. Hestad to the high side through three and four. Yellow. And we have a car spun over in turn at number two. Looks like Jeff Furlong. Jeff out of Stonington, Pennsylvania. Spins it around. So we've had trouble off of turn number two. I wonder if it's just a little bit greasy over there or the maybe some guys are just off on the setup a little bit.
Well, we did notice in the sprint heats, I kept talking about the cushion going into turn three, but right here in front of us in turn one, there wasn't any cushion. So obviously there's a difference between one end of the racetrack compared to the other end.
And Jeff Furlong is one of the drivers tonight for two dogs, Brian and Deanna Kobelars.
There's something else you don't see much on. Well, there's sprints or midgets, a big Mopar sign on the side of it.
That's true. Frank Palomita, last year's champion here for ARDC Midgets. He is pulled off on the hook into the infield. Tonight's broadcast is brought to you in part by Coastal181.com. If you're like me and like to read books, boy, that is the place to go. And remember, Christmas is not that far away. It's a great time to start thinking about that perfect present, how-to race books, DVD, and a wide selection of books. from Coastal181.com. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions, and by Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them. Mohs Gold Polish will have the Mohs Gold clean move of the race a little bit later on. Made in the USA, and a portion of each sale goes back to our troops. Lamb and Webster, right down the road, a mile from the Woodhull Raceway. Why not Lamb and Webster?
Right, here's where the one-way radios come into play. They were past the flag stand. The track all of a sudden cleared, and yellow lights went out, and we're going racing.
So we are set to go racing as they come off of turn number four. Dave Shirk will show the way. Green flag is out. Lennick runs in second. Drew Hiestad is in third. Tim Buckwalter in fourth, and Steve Craig in fifth. As I say that, he gets passed down the backstretch by Ryan Smith. Looks like we'll get the to-the-go sign this time by two laps to go here in heat race number two for the ARDC Midgets. And Steve Lennick starting to close in on our race leader, Dave Shirk, off of turn number two. Has his hands full right now. Dusty Hiestad. Dusty to the high side puts that right rear over the backstretch and kept it going somehow as we come off of turn number four and the white flag is out. All the drivers now working that low groove except, look out. Dusty Hiestad almost spun out. Now it's the battle for the top spot. Here comes Steve Lennick working the low side, but off of turn number four from inside of row number three. Dave Shirk's going to hold on by inches at the line. Lennick second, Drew Hiestad third. Ryan Smith all the way up to fourth. Fifth, Tim Buckwalter, and Steve Craig gets sixth. How about that one for a heat race?
The number 12 car, he was by far the fastest car on the track of Drew Hiestad. And the last lap going into one and two, he went in just a little bit too hard and got her completely sideways. Didn't lose a position, but lost a lot of ground to the cars in front of him.
And the youngster, Ryan Smith, and Ryan picking up a 305 feature win over at Middletown not that long ago. Matter of fact, I believe about 2 weeks ago. So he's in 410 sprints, midget 305 sprints. Nowadays, you have to drive multiple cars if you're going to go anywhere in this business.
While we're bringing the third heat out and getting them lined up, I want to back up a little bit. You were talking about Coastal 181. And
the fine folks up there, Lou Boyd and the gang.
And I don't know if I told you this story before, but a few years ago, my girlfriend at the time bought me the Richie Evans book.
Okay, yeah.
And it's great reading. But the irony thing is, how do I want to put this? Her ex-father-in-law is Dutch Hoag.
Okay.
And Richie and Dutch staged some really big, big battles back in the day. Christmas Day, I'm laying on the couch over at Kathy's house reading my Richie Evans book, and who walks in? Dutch Hoag. And I'm standing there, and I'm reading stories about Richie Evans, and Dutch starts telling me stories, and it's a moment that you cannot duplicate ever.
Mm-hmm.
Third heat. Starting to take shape out there.
Chris Zerinsky and Steve Bull, which I believe is the nephew of Ray Bull, who was the winner the last time the Midgets were here in the midst
now
of
that
his...
that name I recognize, Ray Bull. He used to do a lot of winning in this.
Yes, he did. And matter of fact, when you go back into the record books and the all-time wins, Ray Bull is fourth with 50. Ed Dutch Schaefer, 78 wins. John Corey Sr. second with 69. Len Duncan third with 58. Ray Bull fourth with 50. Lou Earnshaw Jr. fifth with 46. Then it's Nick Noki Fornaro, Hank Rogers, Johnny Heidenreich, Liquid Lou Ciccone, Tony Bonless, and Ray Brown, and Bob Ciccone. And Steve Buckwalter is closing in on the top 10. He has 23 wins. So that's row number one. P.J. Gargiulo and Parker Evans in the number 61.
Ironically, a last name Evans in the number 61. I wonder if there's any significance there.
I wonder, too. Bruce Buckwalter Jr. and Eric Heidenreich, the cousin of Johnny Heidenreich, out of Bloomsburg, row number three. Joe Butera and Nick Ween, row number four. Scott Zipp, did they get that car repaired in time? Wow. They may have gotten that car repaired in time, I think.
He was also involved in that hot lap skirmish that we talked about.
Jacob
that Steve Buckwalter was involved in.
Jacob Wolfson from Crawfordsville, Indiana, making a long 10-hour tow in. And Bobby Jackson rounding out the field. Yes, Scott Zipp. I mean, that front end was completely destroyed.
Yep. They really did some thrashing up there.
Yes, they did. Wow. Hats off to the Zipp guys for getting that car back and onto the track here in the third and final heat race. We're going eight laps as they come off of turn number four. Up to Chris Zirinsky to kick the wheel. The green flag is out. Zirinsky gets the jump through that number one corner. Here comes Eric Heidenreich, three wide off of turn number two, and Heidenreich
two
all the way
three
from
wide.
Sixth to second in a half of a turn. As Heidenreich way high, wide, and handsome, coming off of turn number four. Oh, squeezed up there by slick Nick Ween. As Zirinsky continues to show the way, they are two by two off of turn number two, and now they'll go three wide down the backstretch for a moment. Think better of it. Heidenreich looking to the low side, trying to find racing room. His car is fast.
Well, everybody from second on back is battling for position. Our leader is just checking out on the field.
Steve Bull sitting there in third, but now passed by Eric Heidenreich. And when Heidenreich won not that long ago, as one car slows here on the front stretch, they forgot to take the Stella to Victory Lane, their beloved Basset Hound. How can you go to Victory? Oh, look out, a couple cars coming together as Scott Zipp spun out, and we had two cars bouncing off and into him. One is the 10 machine of Justin Wilson. I'm not sure who the other car is.
From what I saw there, it doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of damage. Looks like all three of them should be able to drive away, I hope.
So under caution here in heat race number three, Chris Zirinsky, a new look for Chris this time. And I'm telling you, now you are seeing exactly why, and the fans are hearing it at home, why they, A, need to come out and see the midgets, and B, why we need to have them in a doubleheader next year here on a Friday night at Clinton County and Woodhall on a Saturday.
That would be great.
Oh, the high banks.
I think I might talk to Teddy White a little bit about that and see what I can do.
I think we're going to tag team him about that.
Maybe we can get Vern Wasson to talk to him about
Maybe
it.
We can get Vern in a midget.
He won't fit. Don't tell him I said that, okay? That's just between you and me, okay?
And the thousands of fans that are listening to us tonight here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. And if, you know, we mentioned about Jacob Wilson coming in from Indianapolis. He had a micro sprint win at the Bullring race out at Kemper Arena earlier this year to start off the year in the micro sprints. Speaking of Indy, if we have fans, as we talked about Johnny Heidenreich now making his home in Indianapolis, we do have an asphalt site for our fans who also like asphalt racing, and that's openwheeltoday.com. And every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we have Beyond the Bricks, which is our weekly IndyCar show. And so we have a number of big-name IndyCar drivers on each and every week, as well as other drivers that are coming up the list through the ranks up to the IndyCar series. So that's openwheeltoday.com. Plus, you can also find us on Facebook, and we also do the Twitter stuff. So
you're into all that stuff, huh?
Well,
you're a tweeter?
Only to tell people when we have a broadcast. That is it. I don't sit there and go, well, it's time I think I need to go take a shower, then go get dinner and come back and relax and watch a TV show for a while. No, I'm not that kind of Twitter person. I'm just, hey, it's a way to let people know what we have up in the broadcast, and it's another way to get the word out and about. And we have over 1,000 followers on Facebook on our Dirt Track channel site. So I'm very happy and pleased about that. So either one of those, you can find us and see what's happening. Besides coming onto the website as well.
Well, go to the website, thedirttrackchannel.com. Spell it all out. Don't forget to put the in the front of
and
it.
And two T's.
Yep. And check out some of our previous webcasts we've done. There's some good stuff on there. We did one a few weeks ago from Woodhall that I think was one of the better ones we did. We're going for green right here, Sean.
And the green flag is back out. Chris Zirinsky showing the way. Nick Ween in second. But here comes Eric Heidenreich. Backs it in. Oh, he's going to spin around. Collects a couple cars. Heidenreich going for it. And
for just a little bit too much.
Yeah, he had the inside run there, and the car just got out from underneath him.
What do you think he was thinking when he was completely sideways looking at the whole field coming at him?
This is not good. And Eric, a couple years ago, was second in the final point standings for ARDC midget action.
The bad news is he spun out. The good news is we're going to get to watch him come up through the field again.
Yeah, he's been coming up through the field throughout this heat race. I believe the other car that was involved there was Bruce Buckwalter Jr.
Well, the 11 should go all the way to the back behind him because he's the one that started the whole thing. And looks like that's what they're going to know.
No?
They should move them around. They should, even though they're at the back of the pack, the 83 belongs in front of the 11.
Mm-hmm.
The 11 definitely got completely sideways and caused that.
Yeah, he was trying to make that bonsai move and make it stick to the low side through one and two and just could not make it happen.
Here we go, coming out of four for Green. We'll watch him come back up through the field again.
Green flag is out. Zerinsky's on the pedal. He takes it down to that number one corner. Here comes Nick Ween to the outside. P.J. Gargiulo working there in that number three spot. They're going to go three wide down the backstretch into that number three corner. And Heidenreich already getting around two drivers. Four down, four to go. This time by for Chris Zerinsky. Almost bubbled there in turn number one. P.J. Gargiulo sitting there in third. Nick Ween in second. As they hustle off down in that number three corner, and here comes Heidenreich working that low groove. I'll tell you what, if he gets that car just right, he may be a threat to win here tonight at the Bull Ring.
Well, the problem with passing is three wide, and they play a little bumper tag.
And they're still three wide, and Heidenreich's able to get around, and he moves up in the fourth. Whoa, one car flipping upside down over there in turn number four. Couldn't see who it is, but somebody, he caught a rut, and the one wheel of the leg, it came off and went up and over real quick, and we are under our first red flag of the night.
He's on his side now. He did, when he came to rest, he was on his lid.
Well, you know what? That might have been a clump of mud then that I saw flipping up, because there's the tires.
And they very easily, gently put him back on the racetrack. The car is right side up, and that looks to be that the driver is just fine.
And I'm not exactly sure who that is, because he's way down there between three and four. Well, we got confirmation it was Steve Bull who flipped over there in between turns three and four. Well, he got some altitude. So a beautiful night here at the Clinton County Raceway. Third and final midget heat race of the night. And we'll have a B main for you as well. That also depends on how many cars are left. We had a few cars go off on the hook. But the resilience of the Scott Zip team to get that car back and out onto the track. And they're pushing that car back.
It didn't look like it was a heavy roll.
No, he flipped. He didn't roll. He flipped. He was upside down big time.
But he didn't land really hard on the top.
No, but I think what I saw was a big clump of clay that went up. It wasn't a tire. I thought I saw a tire there momentarily.
Well, that cushion might be a little deceiving over there, what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to mention, Clinton County, very nice countryside, great scenery around here, and it's, people ought to come down here. This is really nice.
And then you never know when and we haven't seen them in a while, but last year we had the Jack Russell Terrier, that's the mascot over at the golf course next to here. He got loose and was running around here and chasing the cars during a practice day, and boy, oh boy, was he having a blast. He's out in the track running around like it was a Florida dog track.
What would he do if he caught one of them cars?
He probably would have given the tire a pretty good tussle.
Watching going into turn three, right? Not the bottom groove, but the next groove up. Watching the push trucks go through there when they just pushed off the cars for the restart. Almost like a washboard over there. They were bouncing up and down. Mm-hmm. So it might be some ruts over there that we can't see.
One thing that we have seen, but we still haven't seen the final product of it yet, there are some new light poles up, and the track is definitely in need of an improvement in lighting, and hopefully the fair board will come to that stage with Fern Watson and get some new lighting in here. It's lit fine, but some of that pinkish type lighting, and I think it would help out a lot better, particularly on the broadcast when we're trying to look down off of the turn there. And right on cue, Vern Watson comes right through the door.
I was going to say, be careful what you say about him now.
He was the one who said you couldn't fit into the midget. That wasn't me. That was Mr. Kellogg. Just for when you're listening to the webcast, just remember it was Mr. Kellogg said you couldn't fit in the midget because we want to get you in a midget up at Woodhall. Nothing like throwing your broadcast partner
Sean
under the bus.
Thanks, Sean.
Now you know how Danica Patrick's crew felt.
Yeah.
And the green flag for Chris Zerinsky is back out in the air. Nick Ween running in second. P.J. Gargiulo in third. And Tim Buckwalter, or Bruce Buckwalter Jr. in fourth. Here comes P.J. working to the inside of slick Nick Ween out of Phillipsburg, New Jersey. P.J. off of turn number four. White flag is out. And he'll get that number two spot. But right back and on his rear nerf bar is Nick Ween. Can't make the pass happen. as Chris Sorinsky is going to lead wire to wire and be the first one to take the win from the pole here this evening in the midgets. P.J. Gargiulo second, Nick Ween third, Bruce Buckwalter Jr. fourth, and Eric Heinreich recovers for fifth. And hats off to Scott Zipp. He comes home sixth. That car, I thought, was done for the night. They thrashed, and they got it back, and nice run for him.
It was a basket case after that hot lap incident with Steve Buckwalter, so both cars involved in that incident in hot laps got them back together and had some decent finishes in their heats.
We're going to take a break and be back with more of our midget racing here at Clinton County right after this.
The world leader in suspension technology, Penske Racing Shocks has been providing custom-built, high-performance shock absorbers to all forms of racing for over 20 years. Offering only the highest quality suspension products, shocks are available in non, single, double, triple, and four-way adjustable configurations. All Penske Racing Shocks are hand-built, tailored to meet a driver's feel or car setup, and dyno-tested, ensuring the highest attention is paid to detail, consistency, and performance. For your short track needs, contact Dave Reedy at Penske Shocks at 610-375-6180. That's 610-375-6180. Penske Racing Shocks are available direct from the manufacturer or through many dealers worldwide. Visit them on the web at www.penskeshocks.com. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions.
With the Christmas season just around the corner, you can get a jump on your holiday shopping for that special race fan in your life with a visit to Coastal181.com. From how-to race books to DVDs and motorsports art, Coastal 181 is your one-stop shop for gifts. To learn more, visit Coastal181.com or call them toll-free at 877-907-8181. That's 877-907-8181. Coastal 181, reading for racers.
And welcome back to Clinton County Raceway. Time to go ARDC Midget Racing 25 lap feature. Dusty Heistad and Chris Sorinsky make up row number one. Tracy Redinger and Steve Lennick row number two. PJ Gargiulo and Steve Varecki row number three. Tim Buckwalter and Dave Shirk row number four. Alex Bright and Eric Heidenreich row number five. Ryan Smith and Nick Ween row number six. Points leader Steve Buckwalter and Drew Heistad, row 7. Row 8, Bruce Buckwalter and Carrie Becker. Row 9, Steve Craig and Scott Zipp, Joe Achua and Brent Arndt, Frank Palomita and Steve Bull, Johnny Heidenreich, and Jacob Wilson rounding out the field.
White flag is out. We're going to get this feature in the books, we hope.
It is 11:30 on Friday night, and we've had a long night, Steve, but at a great, great night of racing here. And, hey, more fireworks. How about that?
Wonder how the neighbors like that.
Wonder how the neighbors' dogs like that. That's great to see. That's a nice little added extra touch here. Up to Dusty Heistad to bring him down to the green flag is out in a ragged start, and we're going green with a double green flag. And Heistad shows away in that number one corner. Here comes Tracy Redinger, works his way up around Chris Sorinsky. One car high up and over and back down on its lid. That is Alex Bright. And he gets up and over in turn number two. We aren't even a third of the lap in, and we already have one car upside down.
Looks like he just jumped a tire. I didn't see who it was, but he hopped a wheel and off he went.
And he got some altitude.
He was up there.
19-year-old college student at the University of Akron. He's a mechanical engineer major. And
we were over talking to him earlier, and you say 19 years old. He didn't look a day over 15.
I was going to say he doesn't look a day over 15. So we are under red, our fourth red flag of the night. Now, considering how many heat races, dashes, B mains, and now features we run, the laps we put on here tonight, and have only four red flags with a total of 75 open-wheel cars. That's pretty darn good.
Not bad. You look at the ratio there, and it's pretty good.
So we're under a red flag condition coming into tonight's program here for the ARDC Midgets. Of course, Steve Buckwalter, the points leader. Drew Heistad is second. Ryan Smith, third. Eric Heidenreich, fourth. Defending champion Frank Palomita, fifth. Bruce Buckwalter, Jr., sixth. Brent Arndt, seventh. Alex Bright was eighth in the points coming in. Steve Lennick, ninth, and P.J. Gargiulo, 10th. Nick Ween, 11th. Dave Shirk, the 2004 Rookie of the Year, 12th. Tim Buckwalter, 13th. Dusty Heistad, the 2009 Co-Rookie of the Year, was 14th. Tracy Redinger, 15th. Steve Dravecki, 16th. Stephanie Stevens, who I saw walking around civilian clothes but not with the midget, understand she might be doing a lot more 305 sprint car racing. She's 17th. Trevor Kobolars is 18th. Ryan Watt, 19th. And Donnie Trent, the 1997 Rookie of the Year, back with us tonight. He is 20th in the points. All right, so
let's see if we can have another three-wide start like we did on the original start.
That was interesting.
I can't believe they let it go. It was three-wide on
the second
row.
I can't wait to read your column next week. And this is only the first half of the night, and now we're three-wide again.
They're three-wide in the fourth
Come
row
on,
right
boys.
Now.
No, they're still, well, they, no.
And they went green, three-wide.
And we're green and off and running. Dusty Heistad has the race lead. Chris Zirinsky in second. Tracy Redinger has problems. He spins around and collects Eric Heidenreich, fourth in the points.
Maybe this is going to be like the Conti, and they're going to throw the checker.
Well, they said all the cars qualify, so why do they even run the Conti? I'm baffled about that one. And Tracy Redinger goes off. So
both starts so far, they've had rows that are three wide.
Yeah. And I believe that these guys went to the one-way radios this year. I know they have transponders for timing and scoring.
Well, I know they have one-way radios because I was listening in the drivers' meeting up there earlier. So
I love this organization. I really, really do. I love midgets. I love everything about it. But
it just
baffles me that if they have these one-way radios and they tell the drivers and they still go three wide, how can they throw the green to start a race when you have a row of three wide?
In order to figure out why they did that, look at your watch.
Yeah, well, it's 20 up, but they as long as they start the races before that, we're fine. Well, again, we don't have a scoreboard here. Hopefully we get an advertiser to help Vern out one day and get one. And now it's a much better start this time. Dusty Heistad shows the way off of turn number four. Green flag is out. Chris Zirinsky sits there in third. P.J. Gargiulo fourth. Steve Lenick is fifth. Steve Lenick is fourth at the moment. As we go now down in turn three and four, we're clean and green, and we'll get a lap in as Zirinsky shows the way. Steve Dravecki in fourth at the present time. Three wide off of that number two corner as Zirinsky tries to pull up on our race leader, Dusty Heistad. One car, high, wide, and handsome. They'll keep him green. As Steve Lenick now has moved up into third spot. P.J. Gargiulo in fourth. And Steve Dravecki in fifth. Whoa, a couple cars coming together. One going up the track, the other one going down the track, and we're back under caution. I believe that's Scott Zipp at the top of the speedway off of turn number two. But the track is in beautiful shape, really.
Got one pulling in the infield right now, too.
That, I believe, that is Dave Shirk in the heat race. Drew Heistad, who started on the outside of row number seven. He is up to sixth already. And he came from the back of the pack in his heat race. So, long night.
Real long. I've been watching Steve Buckhalter in the zero. He was fast in his heat, and he looks like he's quite fast here in the feature, working his way up through.
Well, you go back. Billy Pouch Jr. won the opener at Susquehanna after Big Diamond got rained out. Then Buckwalter won back-to-back when he won the Candy Bowl makeup at Susquehanna and Williams Grove. Then Rain returned again at Big Diamond, Rain at Williams Grove. Billy Pouch Jr., his second win, now has three career wins in ARDC midget action. And Buckwalter then won back-to-back at Penn Can and Grandview. Here they come off of turn number four, and the green flag is out. Dusty Heistad shows the way. Zirinsky in second. Steve Lenick in third. P.J. Gargiulo fourth. Steve Dravecki in fifth. Drew Heistad in sixth as he makes a bold move down to the inside off of turn number four. And a battle for second. Steve Lenick out of Sealands Grove gets around Chris Zirinsky. He's now up into second. But here comes Dusty Heistad working that low groove. One car high, wide, and handsome.
Got crossed up and gathered it back in.
Yeah,
and saved
a
lot of damage there, too.
Race leader Dusty Heistad of about an 8-car length lead over Steve Lenick in second. Lenick with one career win, and the caution comes out. That is Eric Heidenreich, and Eric came into tonight fourth in the points out of Bloomsburg, taking off the gloves, harnesses. He is not a happy camper right now. So he came in fourth in the points behind Ryan Smith, and that will end his night very early. And we'll get the green flag next time by Dusty Hiestadger, race leader, Steve Lennig in second, Chris Lorinsky in third, Drew Hiestad fourth, Steve Dravecki fifth, Nick Ween sixth, and we'll hold it there at the present time. And you know what? That's Steve Buckwalter in seventh.
Yes, it is.
Coming from the inside of row number seven.
Ooh,
oh, there's a jump on the start, and they come off of turn number four, and it was Steve Buckwalter on the, or no, pardon me, that was the 34 Ryan Smith, I believe, on the jump.
From what I heard in the driver's meeting, that'll cost him a few spots.
Off of turn number three they go. Through three and four now. Off of turn four, it's still Dusty Hiestad, but he only has the car length lead now over Steve Lennig. Lennig working that low groove. Off of turn number two, Steve Lennig gets a run down the backstretch, but here comes Drew Hiestad in third. Lennig going for the lead, looking to the low side. Off of turn number four, yellow out. Two cars come together on the backstretch, and we are under yellow. And there's two more cars together in turn three and four. And
see them. I was watching the ones over here in turn two.
Over here in turn two, I believe that might be Steve Bull and Johnny Heidenreich. I believe that's who that might be. And can't tell. That might be P.J. Gargiulo, one of the drivers down there in turn three and four. Not sure who the other driver is, but we have two separate incidences on the racetrack.
I'm watching what they're going to do with the 0 and the 34.
One of the cars jumped. I don't know exactly who, but I know one of them jumped. I thought it was a 0. Maybe it was a 34.
I think it was the 0 myself.
And let's see. Johnny Heidenreich gets pushed off. Johnny has a Silver Crown car, a non-wing sprint car, a 600 micro, and a midget. And Johnny has sparks coming out of the rear end of that machine, all at his house in Indianapolis.
And while they're running around single file under yellow, the 0 and the 34 have been double file the whole time. So there's definitely some questions going on there. And that's right where that jump occurred.
It was P.J. Gargiulo.
They have the 34 in front of the 0 now on the lineup.
And the other car that was involved that's being pushed off, looks like he's not able to refire at the moment. And they are taking it, we heard, to the infield. That might be Tim Buckwalter. Yes, it is. Tim Buckwalter being pushed to the infield. And if we get the lights out, we could go racing. But no, we're going to go one more lap. Green flag about to come back out. Again, no lap counter here, so we're not exactly sure where we're at, but hopefully we're not too far from halfway here this time by, and the green flag is out.
And one car just passed four cars before the green. It was the 51, passed four cars before the green.
Meanwhile, back up front, it's a three-car battle for the top spot. Drew Dusty Hiestad has it, but Steve Lennig looking for it from the low side off of turn number four. Can't make the pass happen. Drew Hiestad from his 14th starting spot up to third. One car spins around on the inside. Look out, everybody scatters. And we have one more car spinning out, and we're back under caution one more time. That was just a lazy, lazy loop, but enough to bring out the caution one more time. And it's a shame because I'm telling you, here in the East Coast, you have two midget groups. You have NEMA, which is the asphalt midgets, and you have ARDC, which is the dirt. And these guys put on a tremendous show everywhere they go. This is not indicative of how great a show that they do put on. And I'm telling you, folks, you have to go and treat yourself to see a midget race. They're only here once this year. Hopefully they'll be back more a couple times. Races coming up include Accord Speedway on August 13th in New York, New Egypt Speedway on August 24th, Bridgeport on their quarter-mile track on September 11th, and then back-to-back races at Big Diamond October 2nd and 3rd, Grandview Speedway October 16th, and October 30th at the Susquehanna Speedway Park. So only a handful of races left to go, but you have to come out and see the midgets. The 31 and Joe Butera, we spoke with him earlier this evening. He was one of the cars that tried to stop to avoid the car that spun.
They're sending them in, and the starter is rolling up the flags.
Well, I guess what they're saying is that they're going to bring the midgets back and complete this show, and have one more show, a complete show with that. I guess we have hit the curfew time.
And I'm sure that Vern and everybody had no idea There was
seven laps in. Wow.
And got curfew. But back to what I was saying, I'm sure that Vern and everybody involved putting the show on had no idea the magnitude of what it was going to be.
No.
And how many cars it was going to draw.
And it might be one of those things where if they do it next year, it may be just that, a sprint car midget doubleheader, no extra, no pro stocks, and take a break, and the fans will understand that.
Yep.
So, all right, so seven laps are in, and we have come to a stop in the midget feature with seven laps in. Dusty Hiestad, Steve Lenick, and Drew Hiestad, your top three at the present time. So we will take a break and be back with more right after this.
Moe's Gold Advantage Car Wax is a one-step liquid cleaner plus carnauba wax that is fast and easy to use, saving you time while maintaining that race car shine. Moe's Gold has no harsh chemicals or abrasives, and it can be applied in the sun or shade. Moe's Gold Advantage Car Wax works great on cars, trucks, boats, planes, RVs, and motorcycles. Moe's Gold Quick Wipe-On Wipe-Off application is the most advanced formula on the market. No buffering required. Any vehicle looks and feels race car fast at a pit stop price with a Moe's Gold finish. Moe's Gold Advantage is only $11.99, and while supplies last, Moe's Gold Classic is just $9.99. To order, visit moesgold.com. That's M-O-S-G-O-L-D.com. Moe's Gold Polish is the official polish of OpenWheelToday.com, and be sure to listen to the live streaming audio race broadcast for the Moe's Gold Clean Move of the Race. Moe's Gold Advantage, bringing the raceway to your driveway.
At Rod and Supply, they have the unique opportunity to be involved with all sorts of auto racing and performance-related industries, including farm equipment. Whether you're running a go-kart, micro-sprint, mini-sprint, midget, modified, late-model sprint car, or a tractor, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performing at your maximum potential. Since 1989, Rod and Supply has provided superior products priced competitively with prompt and courteous service. Their promise is to continue to provide superior products that will keep you in front of the field. Check out their online catalog at rodandsupply.com or call them toll-free at 1-800-284-2902. That's 800-284-2902. Remember, at Rod and Supply, they don't just sell them, they race them.
Welcome back, race fans, to ARDC Midget Racing here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. And we have learned that the ARDC Midgets will return to complete their feature beginning on lap 7 on Friday night, September the 3rd. They will then have a full card of racing for you with heats, consies, and a feature. That's all coming up Friday night, September the 3rd, and the DirtTrackChannel.com will be there to get the action for you and have it for you on our delayed webcast. For Steve Kellogg, I'm Sean Wood. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon from the Clinton County Raceway here on the DirtTrackChannel.com.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.